Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Hear these words of the Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial." I'm going to end there at that reading. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to be people of prayer who are people of one book. Help us, we pray, to look within ourselves and to see how our prayer life is. Help us to know, O Lord, where we are strong and where we are weak, and to help us to be a kind of people that never cease praying. Help us to remember, O Lord, that we are people who need prayer, not that you need us to pray, but we are those who need prayer. So keep us being that who are people of prayer, who maintain a tight relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray and have our being. Amen? Amen. Do you remember how you were taught to pray as a little child? Do you remember the first prayer you were taught? Maybe it was at bedtime. Do you remember how it went? "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." Now, they've changed this other part. But this is what maybe you and I were taught. You may not have been taught this part. It said, "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." We remember that as children. Do you remember the first time you were taught to say grace at the table? Do you remember that prayer? "God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed. Thank you, God, for daily bread." We remember how we were taught to pray, and as we advance, we may learn to venture out on our own. Sometimes you and I have probably seen movies where people pray in some of the scripts. If you ever saw Whoopi Goldberg in her movie, she was there as a prostitute. She was getting to testify, and they put her in a convent pretending to be a nun. And one of them thought that it would be real nice if Mary Clarence would say grace. Well, I guess if you're a prostitute, prayer may not be something that you do a lot of, or it may be a lot that you do of. So in the movie, Mary Clarence pretty much prayed the best that she could. She included some of the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in it. She included some other things in it. There's been some other movies that we've seen where people pray day by day, day by day, "Lord, help us to love you more day by day." Those songs that have prayers in it. People who stumble around to pray because prayer seems to be, you know, if you're not a professional prayer, you usually, I heard someone say that a new pastor and his wife came to church, and the pastor's wife, which was not a public prayer, she attended something, I guess a session or whatever, and they thought that they would ask the preacher's wife if she would pray. I guess the previous pastor's wife did, so they probably thought that all preachers' wives pray. So when they asked her to pray, she had a wonderful response. She said, "Pass." I thought that was a wonderful way of saying prayer. You know, we preachers are oftentimes asked to pray because we're supposed to be the professional prayers. You know, the way you get good at prayer is the same way you get at some of these big concerts, you know, these big highfalutin places to play, you know. It's called How Do You Get to Carnegie Hall. Thank you, Jed. And, of course, the way you get to Carnegie Hall is how? Practice, practice, practice. The way you get to be a good prayer is that you practice your prayers. And what's so interesting is that the Scriptures tell us that we don't always know what to pray, and yet we know to pray. We may not know what to pray, but we know to pray. The Scriptures also tell us that when we do not know the words because of our grief, of our sorrow, that the Holy Spirit comes and interprets those groans for us, takes them before the throne of grace, and interprets them there for us, and prays on our behalf. So if there ever has been a time when you didn't know what to pray because you were grief-stricken or because you were sad or filled with sorrow, know that you were interceded for by the Holy Spirit, who covered your back, who interceded for you and took those moans and groans and grief and took them before the throne of grace and interpreted them there. Your prayer was heard. The disciples may have seen John's disciples pray, and they may have wanted to pray, but maybe they didn't know how to pray. So they asked Jesus, "Would you teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray?" Now, we don't have anything in Scripture where John taught his disciples. We assume that John taught his disciples to pray. We don't know what he told them to pray. We know that he was a prophet. I don't know that he prayed like Jesus did or told them to pray anything like what Jesus taught them to. But we are aware that John did teach his disciples to pray. So Jesus teaches them to pray. And the first thing he says to them, he says, when you pray, begin your prayer with the word Father. Father. Well, I think that's an interesting word of addressing God. Do you? Would you ever think that the Creator of the universe would ever want you or me to address Him as Father? I recall some of the news that I heard when the Queen of England is greeted. You don't say, "Well, hey, what's happening, Elizabeth?" Or, "What's shaking, Betty?" I mean, that would be disrespectful to the crown. And yet, you and I are told by Jesus that when we address the God of the universe to say, Father, Abba, which is a dear and precious name from a child to a parent, to call the Creator Father. And not only to call Him Father, but to ask that you and I would always be aware that His name should always be holy. That God is set aside for a particular purpose as you and I are set aside for a particular purpose. Because you and I are called to be holy. Not holier than thou, or holier than someone else, but we are to be holy. We are to be set aside for a particular purpose. We were saved for a particular purpose, and from sin and death. Our prayer is that God's kingdom would come. In other words, that He would have total reign in our life, His children, as well as one day in this world, so that all persons would be influenced and would be able to live according to what God would have us to live and do in relationship to Him and neighbor and self. If God is in reign in His church and in His people's lives, then the world sees a difference in His children. Jesus said, "The world will know you're My disciples by the love that you have for one another." God reigns in mine and your life. He's sitting on the throne of our life. We're not the king of our life. He is the king of our life. We are to depend upon Him for our daily sustenance. Give us this day our daily bread. We are aware of that parable Jesus told about the workmen in the workplace, where some came at the beginning of the day and some came at the end of the day. They got the same pay, but the point of the parable is why they got the same pay, and that's so that they could feed their family at the end of the day. They needed bread. They needed money to buy bread. That was the most important thing. Not that each one of them got the paid same. They got to bring bread home and feed their family. That was the most important thing. And we depend upon God daily for our bread. Give us this day our daily bread. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, when God fed them manna, how much bread were they allowed to gather for? One day. That's it. That was a sign of trust. If they tried to gather for 2 days because they didn't trust and really wasn't for sure if God was true, what would happen to that second day's manna? It would turn to worms. They were allowed to gather for 2 days only when the Sabbath was the following day. That was the only exception. You and I are to depend upon God. That's why you and I were raised at a time when you didn't work on Sunday. That goes back to that time when you don't punch in, you don't clock in, you don't make anything. That was just a way of saying, Lord, we're not going to make any money today. That's going to be a way that we're going to say to you, we are totally dependent on you. That was the whole idea behind that. Of course, you know, if you really want to live the law, if your bank, compounds your savings daily, you might want to tell them to keep Sunday. I don't know if you want to do that or not. Or if you are on salary, you might want to tell your folks, you know, just to take that Sunday day away. Well, maybe not. That's probably a bad idea. But anyway, we are to be totally dependent upon God. That's what all of these things point to. Not only are we dependent on God for who we are and to remain to know who He is and on our daily sustenance, but also for forgiveness. We come to Him and ask for forgiveness for our sins. Our sins against Him, our sins against neighbor, our sins against self. And not only do we ask Him for forgiveness of our sins, but we also do so as a result of forgiving those who have sinned against us. The word indebted is there. Because in Scripture, those persons who were in prison weren't there for murder. They weren't there for capital offenses. People in Scripture who had done a capital offense, they were 6 feet under. They weren't in prison. So when you and I hear about the Day of Jubilee, when people were let out of prison, that was those who owed money. Those weren't people that you would be afraid of being turned loose from prison. I mean, you wouldn't want to give them any money, but you wouldn't think that they would come after you to kill you or to harm you in any way. That's why they were there, was because of debtor's prison. But whenever we are in debt to God, we ask Him to forgive us and to clear our debts as we do that for one another. It is a reciprocal relationship. And not only do we ask God for that, but we also ask Him to be with us and to help us in times of trial. You and I, this coming week, we may face some trials. We may face some testings. Someone may test us to see just how Christian we are. We may be at the register and we're supposed to get back $20 and change, and we get back $30 and change. Has that ever happened to you? Huh? Well, you know, it would be real easy to justify it, wouldn't it? Huh? Let's say we're at Walmart. Walmart. You know Walmart, don't you? Bless their hearts. Last time I heard, they made $1 million a minute. $1 million a minute. So if I'm there and they give me an extra 10, I mean, who's going to miss it? I mean, I can use 10 extra bucks. I mean, they make a million a minute. They're not, what's 10 bucks? That's like 10 cents. But you see, what I don't oftentimes think is, what kind of person does that make me? What kind of person does that turn me into? I may look in the mirror and see the same image I did before I went to Walmart, but inside, if I live a life that's lacking of integrity, all of a sudden I become the kind of person that I was not intended to be. Protect us, O Lord, when we come into the time of testing. Lead us not into times of temptation, because sometimes we're not too good at it. We don't always pass. Sometimes we fall short. But in those times, help us to remember who we are. Help us to remember that we call you Father, which means we're your children, and that we claim you, and you claim us, and that you know that we are better than we are today, because we'll be better than today with His help tomorrow. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, as we pray, to always pray to you. There are times, O Lord, that we pray and we may not get an answer, or we might. But we pray that we would never give up on talking to you. And if we do, O Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to bang on our door, continue to speak to our conscience, continue to bother us. Help us to regain that conversation for whatever reason we may justify not praying to you anymore. Help us regain this day our prayer life. Help us to grow in our prayer life. Help us to know that we need to pray more than you need to hear our prayer. Help us to know that our prayer life keeps us in relationship with you and neighbor and self. That it's just not something that we do to check off for a daily done. It's who we are. It helps us to become who you have created us to be. We thank you this day, O Lord, for teaching us to pray. May we always be praying people who trust in a God who hears our prayers and answers us according not to our will, but to thy will be done. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.